Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to episode 537 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today, July 28th, 2019. I know. My name's Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And apparently I've been away just a tad too long. So I'm back and happy to be joining a fine group of podcasters today in my bottom left corner, appearing in the Brady Bunch window for myself. I have Miss Kim Woods.
Howdy, everybody.
Hello, Kim. How are you?
I am good, actually. So,
all right.
I don't have the rocky eye today, so we're good. But I'll talk about that later.
Oh, no, I think I know what you were going through there, and yeah, all right, and then in the upper window, above you, looking down, is Mr. P-Chin.
Hello, Greg, 13. And hello, everybody. Hello.
Yeah, Pete, you just want to be called 13. Should we just dispense with your name? Just go straight 13.
13 is way easier.
Okay, all right, 13, thank you for this. Thank you for joining us. And last but not least, we do not have Mark Wright spinning the disc today. And instead, we have premier pants wearer Robin Tate.
Hey, everybody. Yes, I do have my pants on at the moment. That's not guaranteed to last for the whole show. It's me, Robin Tate at Bongo the Scene in Northern Ireland. And I'm here for another wonderful show for the Overseas Connection podcast.
Wow. Thank you for joining us, Robin. Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, if you are trying to figure out what this podcast is about, we are a gaming podcast that, we think of ourselves as being a funny group, but we're just an old group. Let's just face it. We like talking about video games. We talk about life. We broadcast every week, Sundays, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time. You can bank on us. The only time we take off is really Christmas, like New Year's Eve, Christmas time. That's it. That's what you signed up for, 13. Get ready. Here we go. You can find us on twitch.tv, OC Podcast. You can find us on mixer.com, OC Podcast. We even are on youtube.com. Find us there as well. We'd love for you to watch us, but you can listen to us as well. If you don't want to, you know, you're at the gym, you're like, I can't watch it, but I want to hear it. I got to hear the goodness. Download the podcast in your favorite podcast app. We'll sing into your lovely ears anytime. Birthdays, none that we know of. So if you're having a birthday today and we're not recognizing you, sorry. All right, let's just get into some story time. Lots of stuff to talk about this week, but I think we should lead off with the important things.
You're absolutely right. We should lead off with the important things, shouldn't we? Okay, just like that. It's story time. Story time.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Thank you for tuning in to the OC News at 10. I'm Greg DeLacy, and this is a broadcast from Rich's friends from around the world. As some of you may know, Rich is a massive nerd. If you didn't know that, well, now you do. We've gathered all of Rich's nerdy friends to give you a special broadcast. So stand by. Here we go. Let's start with the world stage and Robin. Robin, I understand you have some breaking news that could impact all of us and everyone as we know it.
Political activist Dick Webster has been flip-flopping his position on several key views. He has been anti-Brexit 30 times and pro-Brexit 39 times. With these 69 changes of mind, he may have to change his position again. At present, we are not sure if he is coming or going. Most recently, he landed firmly on the side of pro-marriage and has been backed by the powerful lobbyist, Lady Jill Mountford. In fact, he is hoping to partake in some solid lobbying later today. Back to you, Greg.
That's great, Robin. Thanks for bringing that to attention, although I think that falls into the we really don't care party. All right, let's turn our attention now to some local news. Mike, I understand you have something. The police seem to have caught a break in a recent crime wave.
Yes, Greg, that is correct. As many of you know, Rich hasn't been seen on the podcast for a while, and it's actually been suspected that he's been kidnapped. Now, we are having reports come in that he's been kidnapped by a woman called Jill. Apparently, Jill is attracted to men that love Skyrim, nerdy men, and also men that struggle to grow facial hair. So if you have seen Rich, we've got an artist impression here, if you just want to throw that up. So if you have seen Rich, please report in. That's all from us from the streets. Back to you, Greg.
Dangerous times indeed, Mike. Let this be a warning to all of us. Well, okay, enough of that. How about we hear about what's going on with the weather? Kim, anything exciting there?
Indeed. Well, everyone, we are in for a change in the weather. Today calls for a spot of brightness thanks to a union of a breezy Jill coming in from the south with a spot of Rich from the east. It's unusual to see such a pairing at this time of year, but we will take it as it will really make everything better. Beyond that, the forecast is calling for possible sprinkling, showers, and downpours, so you'd better start building your ark now. Over to you, Tank Top.
Damn it, Kim. No pet names. Yes. Thank you for that, Kim. Right. Phil, let's get something more inspiring. I hear you have something delightful to share with us all.
Thanks, Greg. As viewers know, I am the lifestyle and culinary guru of the airwaves. I've dined with self-reported royalty and created dishes that I've rated 10 out of 10. Now, for today, I would like to talk about lifestyle choices and change. Rich Webster was a young man adrift in a sea of lost. Richie needed a change. His lifestyle was dull and accompanied by a lifelong attempt at a porn stash. Years of proclaiming Skyrim to be the best game ever took a toll on Rich. He met a young lass named Jill. Rich was inspired. He sought to make changes. Actual employment, more Netflix, less Twitter. Shoes with laces and not Velcro. He even thought about shaving. He made those changes to attract Jill and her affections. I'm happy to report these meaningful changes worked and their union have led to a path for lifelong happiness for both of them. The moral here is you do what you need to do when you find love. Well, except porn stash, apparently. That is still being attempted on and off. Back to you in the studio, Greg.
Well, that does it for the news now. It's the news that you may or may not have wanted to know. But hey, stay classy, UK. We are so thrilled for the two of you, Jill, Rich. Congratulations, Jill. Absolutely, we are happy to have you join the family. Rich, well done, son. Well done. We just really hope the two of you are happy for the rest of your lives. And I do wish I could have been there in person to deliver this message. But what can you do? All right, are we clear? Are the cameras off? Thank God. I don't think I could have handled any more of that happy life crap. Everything's awesome. Jesus. All right. I gotta go get some pants. I don't know. This is over.
Oh, I love doing that. That was so much fun. Oh dear. That was a good laugh, that. Congratulations, Rich and Jill. Ooh. Where's everybody gone?
You know, it's you mute yourself because you're trying to be respectful to the artistry, and then you forget you're muted. Yeah, hopefully that plays out for everybody, including the audio listeners. But yes, most importantly, congratulations, Richard Webster and Jill Mountford. You are now together forever till death do you part. Way to take the plunge. We're proud of you guys.
Way to go.
We're excited to have you in the family. All that good stuff. All right.
Just one quick FYI, because the restream, the chat thing that fires everything out, it doesn't seem to be updating on the center bit when the videos are playing, so Hashtag.
Not a worry. Sorry for those in the live chat, but hopefully things are back to normal when we are not streaming the video. All right, well, let's talk more stories, though. We have lots to talk about. I was gone away on sabbatical to Disneyland for a few days, so I'm just going to lead the chat. I'm gonna start.
Good morning from
you, go.
Let me get this out of the way up front. Mm-hmm. Had a really fun time. Enjoyed my time in Disneyland. That said, I checked out Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the new Disneyland
event thing. Want to hear?
Yeah. I shared lots of pictures with you guys in the WhatsApp app group. Blah, blah, blah. That's really difficult for me to say. It's a really cool environment. They have gone out of their way to really make you feel like you are going into a Star Wars universe. Everything, you know, I mean, down to just the smallest of details is usually, you know, taken care of. There are tons of little shops that you can walk through, and some stuff to look at.
Come on, there's a bus coming here.
And there's a ride, the Millennium Falcon Adventure.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I was really disappointed with Disneyland Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I mean, I was like walking into it pumped. I mean, you walk in through this area and you see an X-Wing on the ground.
Yeah.
It's like all painted out. You see the garrison guns from when you see Empire Strikes Back, when the AT-AT walkers are coming towards them, they have these guns that they're like turrets. And so you're seeing all this stuff. You're seeing a speeder bike, and it's just like, okay, this is gonna be freaking awesome. And we started getting into like they have like it reminds me very much of Tatooine, the location.
Yeah.
Desert light. And we're walking in, and honestly, this was another cool moment. The stormtroopers are walking through, two actors. And what's great is normally in Disneyland, when you have characters coming out in public, they are always escorted by somebody, and they're not voiced. So like Mickey Mouse is walking out, you know, he's in costume. He's out there for like 10, 15 minutes. And then they whisk him away to get out of the costume, and you can't see – you know, you never want to see Mickey Mouse taking his head off. You don't want to freak out the kids. But, you know, you don't have a real interaction with them as, there's no voice, right? So these stormtroopers are walking through and you just start, you know, you hear them talking and they're like, hey, you, we hear there's the rebel spies amongst you. What are you doing here? You with the device. And at first I thought it was just pre-recorded messages, but I'm pretty certain these guys are just talking through microphones built into the helmets. And they did a great job. And they're no handlers with them. They're just walking amongst the crowd, blasters in hand, stopping people as they go, constantly, you know, questioning them if they're part of the resistance, if they're spies. And it was just really, really good. So, I mean, that was like the initial impression. I'm like, okay, awesome. Give me more. And then we came into this open area where you see the Millennium Falcon sitting in the hangar. This looks awesome. And we were able to get on that ride actually right away. So one of the privileges or benefits, I should say, of going with my son is he will get a disability pass. And so if you're not familiar with how that works, basically when you have somebody with special needs that can't wait in a line for very long, they will kind of allow you to do fast passes where you can get return times. You still have to wait in a short line, but usually they take care of you pretty well. And in this instance, the guy, we didn't even have a fast pass set up for the Millennium Falcon. He just looked at us. He's like, just go on in. And so we bypassed everybody in line. There were people, they had been waiting there for like an hour. We just walked right up into it. But it was really cool. So they get you in. They do this like kind of flight training video. There's this character, and I forgot his name already, but you see him up on this ledge, and he is full animatronic, but very realistic. Like when I first saw him, I thought it was a person in costume.
He's about to appear
because he was so fluid.
About to appear on the video right now, actually.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so it just had me like, I was like, oh, wow. Okay, this is cool. And then you step in. They take six people at a time. They assign people, two pilots, two gunners, two engineers. And you go into the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. And then basically, if you've ever done something called Star Tours, where they load you into a box on hydraulics. And inside, it's themed, of course, to the event that you're doing. But so you're in this car, six people deep. The inside of it is just decked out to be like the Millennium Falcon, and there's actual working buttons and controls to push. And so you fly the Millennium Falcon on this run to get cargo. And so they're having engineers pushing buttons at certain times. They're having the gunners pushing buttons. The pilots are having to hit levers.
It's like a co-op thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, totally co-op, and it is just hysterically funny. And of course, my son is pushing no buttons, so I'm doing double duty behind me and in front of me, trying to see anytime a button lights up, I'm just smashing it. But that was fun, and the ride ends, and it was a really good, thrilling kind of adventure. And I got out of it, and I was like, okay, now what? And then I found out that was the only ride they have set up. They do have another attraction coming. I believe they called it the Jedi Walk or something to that effect. But they didn't have any other ride. So then we're like, okay, well, what do we do? And it looks like they might have another ride coming because we saw there was an Imperial shuttle that had stairs leading up to it, and it looked like you could go inside, but it was all kind of blocked off right now. So I think eventually something may be there. The only other thing that we were told about was the cantina. So there's a Otoga's cantina, and we went over there, and the guy's like, it's reservations only. And he's like, it books out early. He's like, so here's what you do. First thing in the morning, 7 a.m., the app opens up, allows you to make a reservation. He's like, make your reservation, pick your time. And he said, and then come back. And I'm like, well, so I'm all, what's it like in there? He's like, well, it's like, the Star Wars cantina bar. And I'm like, so there's going to be like creatures and stuff in there. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, it's really cool. You're not going to want to miss it. And I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. So 7 a.m. the next day, I book it, got us a 6 p.m. reservation. We made it all the way back through the park to get to this thing. And we walked in, and I took pictures, and I don't think I shared it on the WhatsApp yet. But there were no creatures. There was one robot. I will share that with the WhatsApp, so Robin, you can pull this up.
Was it something to do with the time that you went in, or?
No. So there's a center bar, and then there's I can show you the picture of the center bar, too, because I have pictures of that, of course. So the center bar reminds you a lot of the cantina, but there were no creatures. There were just bartenders, and there was no actual food. It was just drinks, and it was overpriced drinks. It was like every drink was at least $15 or more.
They had
collector's cups, but the cheapest collector's cup drink was $32.
Oh, my Lord.
I was like, so basically, wow. This is just a blatant, like, I'm going to, steal your money kind of situation. Yeah. I was like,
money grab.
Well, they're just playing on the Star Wars, hype.
Yeah.
And so the lone robot that I shared in the WhatsApp group, if you can see that is the only creature, robot, anything in the thing that's animatronic. Everything else is just bartenders, staff, and then patrons. The other crazy thing is they time you. You only have 45 minutes to be in the bar, which quite honestly, I was like, after 10 minutes, I was done. Mm-hmm. One cool thing is the bar top is lit and all the drinks are different colors. So it does give you that Star Wars vibe, but it just felt like a missed opportunity. They could have done so much more with it. So, we left there. I had a nice little buzz going, mind you. I drank my two drinks, and one of them was a shot called Jet Fuel, which pretty true to its namesake. it just burned all the way down. It had Maker's Mark in it, some kind of chili liqueur in it as well. It was tasty, but yeah. Anyway, so that was, Star Wars was a disappointment. I was like, oh. So that was Star. Any questions before we move on from Star Wars?
I'm just really shocked at the price of the drinks. And you had two drinks, you're saying there. So that's 30 bucks per person every 45 right. minutes. That's nuts.
Yes. Right. Yes.
That is theme parks. That is, you know, you pay fucking 10 quid or 12 quid for a crap burger. And the takeaway place, you know, what's a turkey leg? Probably 20 bucks.
Yeah. Now, fun, cool fact for anybody going to Disneyland in the future. Now, Disneyland in California is interesting because the old Disneyland park, the traditional Disneyland park, is non-alcoholic. There's no beer or wine served there.
Yeah, that's California, interesting.
California Adventures, which is the park kind of across the way from it, which is part of Disneyland, but they have their different theme parks, is they serve alcohol there. Star Wars Galaxy actually sits on the Disneyland property side. And so we were like, okay, so this is actually in Disneyland. You have to go into the Disneyland side to get to it. So I was like, well, how are you guys serving alcohol? And they're like, because you're not in Disneyland anymore.
Huh.
So they have purposely carved it out to be its own thing. But the real cool thing, and this actually holds true for all of Disney World in Florida, is the app that they have. They now allow you to do mobile ordering. So you can order beer and do a mobile pickup. And I kid you not, we were in a line. It was probably 35 people deep. And I looked at the app and I was like, holy shit, I can order my beers. Two beers, 5 minutes, done. Out the door.
Cool.
So that would be my advice on the ordering side of it. I did ride the new Incredicoaster, which is on the Pixar side in California Adventures. Really cool roller coaster. It is like a real, you know, true roller coaster. It's got the loop and everything. This is a PSA. Don't take your special needs son on the roller coaster. He did not do well with it. He's usually a really good with rides. He loves the sensation of motion, that kind of thing. But on this coaster, normally I have the ability. I'll have, you know, I'm not so tied down to where I can't take my hands and help him. Like if he's having a little head control issue, and I say that he has perfectly strong neck and head control, but when we did the loop and we hit the bottom part of the loop and it just kind of forces you forward, he could not recover from the G-forces of having his head forward. That just makes you nauseous. And so we got off that coaster and my wife and I both were like, okay, we were bad parents. That was all. So he recovered from it though, bounced back, everything was good. And then about 2 hours later, and this is, again, one of those parents things that happen, especially with special needs kids. He decided to go to the bathroom. And we were
number twos? Okay.
Yeah. He decided to fill his diaper with something that could not be easily dispensed. And, of course, we were in the, like, middle of bathroom areas. So I had to basically carry him because I didn't want things spreading, or at least that was my intent. And it did not go well. That did not end well. So we literally had to just take him out of his pants, wash those pants out, put them in a bag, and then we just went and bought new pants for him.
Okay.
They're in there.
Yes. And so last funny story, and this is actually, sorry, more bathroom jokes. We go to the airport bathroom and Sydney's like, all right, we're going to change Colin. And what's great about a lot of the airports now, they have what they call companion bathrooms. They're bigger. They're made for wheelchairs, that kind of thing. And you can go in there as a family to kind of assist. And so we get in there and Sydney's like, you know, hey, did you, you know, anything going on there? And, you know, we're just kind of joking around a little bit and, you know, Colin's diaper was wet. So we thought, okay, well, we'll change it now. So she starts changing it, and he just starts peeing.
Oh, no!
And so Sydney's quickly And Colin is not potty trained to go in a toilet.
Yeah.
But the funny part was she picks him up and she like rotates him over to the toilet and he stops. He's like done. So she's like, all right, can you help me? We got to clean this mess up a little bit. And so she's like, why don't you go ahead and just, you know, finish getting him into his diaper? I'm like, all right, fine. I pick him up. I move him back over to the counter. He starts peeing again.
Oh, no.
Okay.
We laughed for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's amazing what you get used to laughing about. Now,
yeah.
Here's a bugbear with me. What you said there is absolutely fabulous because our biggest challenge is the 15-year-old, if we take him out anywhere public, is when this happens. Because there is nowhere, I'm sorry, people that are tuning in about a gaming podcast, rant here, there is nowhere to change a 15-year-old boy's nappy. Or an adult's nappy in the UK. Really, very, very few. What do you do? Lie them down on a public toilet floor? You know.
I mean, that's – so what we do is we bring – we have these disposable changing pads. Yeah. So we'll bring those and we'll kind of roll them out and basically just lay it out to where we can lay them on the ground because Colin is big enough now he can't be in one of those changing stations.
Gross. Anyway, there you are. Rant over. Very good.
Anyway, so that was Star Wars. That was Disneyland.
Want to go? I want to go just to suck up the size and physical bit of the Millennium Falcon because it looks like it's built to scale, sort of thing.
And just
to scale. Just to stand there and get that selfie would be good enough for me.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day. And maybe that was where my disappointment came in, is I thought there was going to be a lot more. But I think from a just awe and taking pictures. I mean, I took tons of pictures of all kinds of cool stuff, and it made me want to go out and buy a freaking blaster now for Star Wars and Stormtrooper helmet, and that might be my future costume for Halloween.
Can you not get like a Princess Leia? Return of the Jedi bikini outfit for Cindy? No.
Ironically, Cindy. Oh, I'm not even at that for him. Within like 5 minutes. Yeah. No, I am not dressing up like Princess Leia.
Damn it.
Yeah. Well, look, the thing about it is, going to Disney is an expensive thing. Any of them, whether no matter what it is, but that is part of the ticket price. So it's
true.
It's extra. You know, it's in a whole big new area, which is no extra. So you don't need to go in and spend big bucks in your cantina. You'll do it once. You'll never do that again. You'll maybe go to the area again, but you'll never do that again. Oh.
Yeah, no, the cantina for sure, no. That was probably my biggest disappointment was the cantina, only because I was led to believe it was going to be this cool, experience, and I was just like...
Reset. Okay, here's a new customer in. You expect? You almost expected that to happen?
They didn't even have that music. I mean,
didn't it have any music?
No, it had music, but it felt like I was at some freaking hip-hop bar. It wasn't the Star Wars King music. I mean, I was just like, come on.
How long's the complex been open to the public?
But a month, 2 months now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you can imagine that being really, really would drive you insane listening to that from 9 to 5 or 9 to 10 or whatever it may be. But who cares? Yeah. It's like the Small World ride. You know, once you start singing that Small World tune, sorry, it's in your head now, you can't get rid of it. But
there's so much music though from the Star Wars episodes. They could play all of that and play that on the air, I suppose.
But you know the way you've done the 45-minute thing. Did you go in as a group of 45 minutes? Was there a group of 20 of you went in, or 30 of you, or 50 of you went in?
No. They bring you in per small group.
See, they should do it that way. Bring in like a batch of 50 or 100 people, and as you are walking in, the cantina music is playing, and then it goes for 45 minutes to an hour, then the reset, and then it started all again, as if you're walking in and somebody goes, we don't take your type in here, and send the droid back out the door, sort of thing, you know. So they should do
There should have been somebody or something in there referencing Guido, right? He wasn't there, I don't know.
Well, Colin shot first.
So it was funny that we did ask the bartender, we're like, how do you tell when 45 minutes is up? And the bartender's like, usually two drinks. is about 45 minutes. So they don't even really time you. They just kind of, you know, they have this rule, and they were very vocal about it out in line. But once you're in there, I think it's kind of up to you.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Cool.
So anyways, so that was me. Kim, have something equally exciting to my diaper challenge.
Oh, yeah. I had to take a cat to the vet this week. She's having a little bowel issue, we'll say. But she seems to find the vet gave her some medicine. Also gave her some food that she refuses to eat. So, all right, whatever. So I even let her eat the old food. So we'll see what happens. And she's got some medicine to take. So
hospital food's never good. So I would want.
Well, I probably paid for this small can of, you know, special veterinary cat food. She should be eating the crap, but oh well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Other than that, Monday, I noticed last weekend when I was on the podcast, my eye hurt. And I woke up Monday to a swollen eyelid. So I looked a little bit like Rocky Balboa after he went like three rounds. So that was fun. Right.
We must be joined at the hip, Kim. Because something similar after I was working underneath Bert last week. I think I got a piece of metal or something in my eye. So I've been doing eye washes and eye drops all week. It's been terrible. Let's see, we're linked. I mean,
right?
Our monthly cycle is going to be linked as well. Something like we're going to be grumpy at the same time. Oh, yeah, flip me.
I can't wait.
We're like sisters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, a little bit of an affected eyelid. But as you can see, it's finally cleared up. So, thank God. Nothing's worse than waking up in the morning and got, like, slime on your eye. And you're like, who the hell did I... Oh.
Yeah, who the hell's he?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I notoriously can get my right eye. I'll get styes very easily.
I could live in those.
Yeah, the funniest part was, I had a really bad one, and I usually don't get them bad. Like, don't bother me for like a day or two. It'll look a little puffy, and then it goes away.
Yep.
But I don't know, probably 2-3 months back, it was bad. Drive me nuts. And of course, I'm like messing with it all the time. And Cindy's like, just stop. Let it be. And the doctors are, don't touch it. Just warm water on a washcloth, blah, blah, blah. And like, finally, I had had enough. Yeah. I popped it.
Oh, enough to do that.
Yeah. It did not feel terribly good. Let me just put it that way. Your eyelid is very sensitive. But yeah. That's why
there's no makeup this week, because they're like, you shouldn't be wearing makeup for a while. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'll live. So, because my sister wanted me to go to a doctor, and I'm like, it's just a sty. I'll put some, warm washcloth on it for a few days, and it'll be fine. Sure enough, it was. She's like, you need the antibiotic ointment and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, I'm like, if my eyeball starts falling out, I will go to a doctor. But until then, this should be fine. So,
So tough.
Okay.
So
tough. Robin.
Okay.
Robin.
Yes.
You look like you've been watching a lot of television.
Bits and pieces. I've been too tired. Very, very busy at work. So this is my last week for a couple of weeks because I'm going to Italy next. This time next week, I will be around Lake Garda. So a lot of stuff's going on. A lot of late stuff and a lot of babysitting. So I have caught up with a couple of episodes of the new Jessica Jones. I know Mark talked about it last week, series 3, and it's pretty good. She's cool in a dark anti-hero type way. So something I came across, which is brand new on Netflix, and it was Katie Sackhoff is in it, and that kind of got me. That had me at a low. Katie Sackhoff, of course, from Battlestar Galactica. She was Starbuck, the new version of it. And it's called Another Life. And it's about this alien presence comes to Earth. They just sit there. Nobody really knows what it's all about. It's set in the future. And Katie is a captain of a ship. And she's sent out to make first contact to find these people to see if they're being hostile or not. And it's sort of Star Trek adventures on their way to meet these people. So about 3 or 4 episodes. She is older now, as we all are, but she's still a beautiful, beautiful, sexy girl next door, lovely woman. And it's a space drama. So like Battlestar Galactica was not just about the Cylons every week. It was about the drama of what was happening on the ship or the alien bug that lands on the ship and they have to deal with. It's like that. Okay. That's good. Recommendation. Other stuff in the car. One of our favorite audiobook series, Greg, is the our Skippy the Magnificent and Expeditionary Force with a guy called R.C. Bray. Now, if you remember a while back, Greg was recommending the Aliens series, the dramatic version of Alien's story with actors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what they've done now is this is an extra story for Expeditionary Force, and it's called Homefront, and it has Zachary Quinto, R.C. Bray, of course, Kate Mulgrew, and she was in Star Trek, isn't that right, Kate Mulgrew? Am mm-hmm. I right about that?
Yep.
And a whole pile of other people, and of course, Skippy the Magnificent, and it's all acted with all these voice actors now, and very highly produced, with lots of sound effects and all the bits and pieces. And I was sceptical at first, thinking, oh, they could really ruin this for me if they get this voices wrong, what I pictured R.C. Bray in my head, you have him there, but he is still doing the voice of Skippy the Magnificent, as well as his own, so it's cool.
Okay.
So all right. That's a recommendation for you, new on Audible.
Excellent.
And my final thing, of course, going to Italy, trying to get ready for all of that. We've got builders coming while we're away, and we're knocking through a wall. And, of course, I decided to take the sledgehammer to the kitchen wall yesterday, and my kids thought I was going crazy. Had no idea what was going on, and the baby thought, what is he doing? But I just wanted to see what it was like, because it's going to open up the whole new set of light for where the hole is going to be. So starting to get ready for that. Going to be a crazy week, just trying to get everything set up and ready. But looking forward to holidays. And I'm going to miss you all. Not! So, yeah.
Yeah, we know.
That's what I've been up to. Lots of
okay.
stuff. Yeah.
All right, and last but certainly not least, Pete, streamer extraordinaire.
Yeah, well, I've had a busy week at work, but I don't need to talk about that on this podcast. It's just been one of those crazy things where loads of things have gone wrong, and it's just been busy. But
right.
Have you been using your ass? Have you used your ass?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, good.
out of work. I've watched a couple of films, talking about TV, Robin. I've watched Flag of Our Fathers, and film that was alongside with that, it's Letters from Iwo Jima.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. Mm. It's those two movies directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
Clint Eastwood. Oh, yeah.
Sad story, I suppose, but one of those that you should watch, I think. I've also been streaming. I've streamed twice this week on our Twitch channel.
Right.
And
I'm thinking about Colin again. Saying you were streaming in whose eye? You were just laid back there on the bed, streaming away. Thank God for rubber sheets.
No, it's streaming on the Twitch channel.
Oh, right, you're yes, okay. Bad for the computer, you know that? When it doesn't turn your computer into electric dreams if you pee on it, that would be a nightmare.
Moving on from showers.
All right, continue on, Pete, please. You've been streaming on Twitch.
Yeah, but I don't know whether I should mention the games, because I've got to mention those later on.
Well, you can mention them, but we'll talk about them in more depth.
Well, yeah. I had a guest with me on Tuesday night. It was my brother, and we ended up
playing. Hey, can we really call him a guest? Really? Your brother is not a guest. Your brother is a former podcast member. So, I mean, he's technically still – we still own the rights on him. We just lease him out to the veteran gamers. In a bilateral agreement, so just so they know, they don't get any fancy ideas.
But he's always of the opinion like, but they didn't want me no more.
That's just his way of he's trying to make himself look good in the public eye. The realities are, we talked about the best days we could move the podcast to, and every day I chose, Mike was like, nope, sorry, can't do it. Nope, sorry, can't do it. So finally, we just had to settle on a day and said, you know, Mike, look, we've negotiated in good faith, but I felt like something nefarious was happening in the background. So, yeah.
Well, I had Mike with me on Tuesday night. We tried
we tried to play Blazing Chrome separately in our okay. own with our own setups, and it didn't work because of internet connections and blah blah blah. So he decided to come over and we had couch co-op, but it ended up being one of the hottest weeks, and it was just stifling hot in this attic. We were both absolutely pouring a sweat. So it's worth the watch. It's worth just, you know, clipping up a few segments of that video because it is funny. There's bad language, so expect that. You know my brother, he doesn't hold back.
Pete, we are a mature gaming podcast, so well, you are allowed to swear. So let me just put this out there. Fuck, okay? You're allowed to swear. Throw it out there. It's okay.
Yeah, but you know, Mike, he doesn't stop. He's got verbal diarrhea. So
yeah, yes, I know, Mike. Yes, yeah, true.
We had a great time. We had an hour and 40 minutes, I think, altogether, and we just couldn't stand any more heat. It was just unbearable. So that was with Mike, and then also during the week, I played Gears of War 5. So it's a tech test, and. Right. Yeah, ended up streaming that as well. I was going to stream some more today, and I just thought, no, I'm gonna try and concentrate on the game fully because you're conscious of if you're talking enough, I suppose, on a stream. Right. Blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to just concentrate on that and just make some notes on the actual tech test itself, and hopefully they'll be pretty much similar to yours.
Okay. Yeah. No, I look forward to talking about that. It's funny. I'm a horrible streamer because I don't like talking to just the ether for streaming. I could do that all day long on a podcast, but when it comes to streaming, I just fixate on the game and I just shut up. And I'm just like,
yep.
So yeah, I'm not fun to watch streaming. Same. For sure.
Well, I'm intending to just do it a lot more, I think, okay. through the OC podcast Twitch channel. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we've set the contract up. We've got our royalties in place, so we're good. Yeah, stream away. All right, no, let us move on to games we've been playing.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Boy, is there a video of me getting tattooed on the stream?
Why not?
Well. Yeah, you know, Kim.
Yes.
We have just a couple days left in the month. I don't think we know the new freebies yet, but we can at least talk about what is left to be had before it goes away. So maybe cover just what's left.
All righty. Your games with gold with just what's left of this month, which isn't long. We have Big Crown Showdown, which is available now through the 15th of August. And we have Meet the Robinsons, which is available till the 31st. And then for your PlayStation Plus, we have Detroit Become Human, Horizon Chase Turbo. And then Twitch Prime Games, we have Cultist Simulator, Loop for the King, The Escapists, and Ukulele. So get them while the getting's good.
Yeah, no, I actually need to take advantage of Ukulele. I have not picked that up yet, so.
I don't think I have either, so.
All right. Oops. Well, we need to get those games. all right. Well, let's see. Let's go reverse order from what we did. Just to throw Robin off, because I knew he was counting on me going first, probably. Pete, we'll start with you. I'm going to talk a little slowly here so Robin can queue up nicely. Blazing Chrome, talk to me. What is this game? What exactly is it?
Okay, Blazing Chrome. Me and my brother have been dying to play this for a couple of weeks now after seeing it on Game Pass. So if you've not seen it already, check it out. It's, well, if you're a fan of, do you remember Super Probotector or Contra 3?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, okay. So if you can imagine this game, now you get it, put it into an emulator, then stick it into a random level generator and mix all the characters up, mix all the levels up, mix some of the animations up, and then call it Blazing Chrome, then that's your game. It's exactly the same as Probotector and Contra 3, but jumbled up.
But it looks
just
like
no
shit.
Difference. Oh, no, you can't say that. Me and my brother love this game.
But it looks like shit.
So, well, it's 16-bit... couch co-op, shoot 'em up.
The Xbox One can do more than 16-bit, Pete.
Oh no, but come on! You've got to. Sometimes you've got to have a little bit of a, you know, a double back into your past and play some of these older style type games. It's just, it was good fun.
I really enjoyed it. I get it. Honestly, I get it. But it looks like shit.
Oh, Robin. Shut up. It was
really good. I get it. I understand what you're saying, Pete, but I don't know. I did look at this the other night, and I think, you know, people are raving about it and stuff. No, do I really want to squint at this stuff? Just maybe the gameplay must be really good. Maybe it's just appeals to gingers. I don't know.
What?
In fairness to Robin, it looks like shit.
Oh my god. I think it's your age, you three. I mean, two. Sorry.
What do you mean?
I haven't done anything yet. I think it was kind of neat, so.
What do you mean? Oh, I was playing fucking Galaxians while you were still a nappies, wee lad.
Well, anyway, if you like running guns, 16-bit, and don't like these two going on.
Okay, I will give it. Yes, it is old school, but even though it does look like shit, it looks like better shit than the original. I mean, the sprites and bits and pieces do look like they're a bit more detailed or something. I don't know.
It might have a bit more detail in some things, but it's a lot more difficult, which makes you hate it probably more than Super Pro Protector or Contra 3. So it's a 6 1.5 dozen the other. We got frustrated in the end because we just couldn't get past this one stage. This one boss, it was just like this little tarantula, and you had to run under it and then run out of it once it jumps, and it was bloody frustrating. And we thought that you'd get to an early a checkpoint just before that, and it didn't. It took you to two stages before that boss, and it was just we just couldn't save enough of our lives to get to the end of it. You can only, once you continue, it just resets it all from the last. The last checkpoint, and it was just bloody difficult. So we was hot, we was frustrated. It is good though. I think we'll finish it off, and we'll wait for it to be a little bit cooler in this loft before we do that. And I'm not going to say shit. I think it's good. So
no.
It's on Game Pass, and that's the good thing about it. It's part of the subscription service. You can pick it up if you want to, and if you don't like the look of it, you can just pass on by and just play another game. We love this game, and we loved Contra 3. So we just had to get it. Do you think Mike really loves it,
or is he just saying it just to be brothers and stuff, you know?
I think the beauty of it being on Game Pass, and this is the beauty of Game Pass, is that it will allow you to explore and play games that look like shit and you normally wouldn't play.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, in my drunken stupor the other night before I went to bed, I challenged myself in my drunken stupor to focus on the screen and download something that was something I had meant to try or never had tried before, and I downloaded Prey.
Right.
And that's going to be one of those ones where, I really want to play it, but I don't know, I hear good things. So.
Yeah.
So, it is a good place to try
What's
stuff
What's it like called?
This. Prey.
Pray.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to play this before next week. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if it's shit, I'm going to get some shit next week.
Okay.
You're not going to be here.
It was by Madonna. Hey, Madonna's in it. How bad could it be?
Well, I can tell you one thing. It does not look like shit. I have played some Prey.
No, it's 16-bit. See, actually, Prey's actually 8-bit. It's half your bits.
Well, this looks like shit, but it doesn't play like shit. It's good. You can carry on, you two. It don't really matter. I'm still going to say that you just, you know.
Pete?
Let's
talk about something that actually we can both agree looks fantastic.
Yeah, it doesn't, yeah.
Gears of War 5, come on.
Oh, man.
Move on.
Gears 5.
Yes.
I'm going to let you talk about it. I've wrote these notes loads.
I know. I'm intimidated by your note page.
This is shit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, so I fired up the tech test last week. I know you guys talked about it last week when and all I really did was the tutorial section. I forgot what they call it, though. But it walks you through the basics of Gears of War. But I was impressed by it because I think one of the things it did it felt like it gave a decent reason for having a little trial of the controls, you know, kind of typically speaking, every game has to figure out a way of saying, look up, look down, this is how you fire a gun. And 9 times out of 10, I think it feels very kind of samey. You know, you've done this before. This time, I kind of liked the humor they added
I didn't like it at all. I thought it was a bit cheesy crap. Yeah.
I don't like the old English. Well, they're trying to the English terms, like, or should I say, tosser. One thing. That's one word that doesn't sound right when Americans say it. I'd rather have them put in douchebag or something like that. Tosser just doesn't sound right.
Cunt.
I would agree. Oh. I'd rather call you. Yep. Oh, easy. I didn't have a problem with the humor, I guess. Maybe it wasn't like, oh my God, laugh. You know, I'm falling down laughing. But it made me chuckle a couple times in just that, you know what, I recognize they have that humor in there. It didn't feel completely foreign to the environment or the characters. And again, I liked how they kind of did the setting for it all of, you know, you're basically helping to make the bots better by going through these, you know, kind of checkpointed tests, for lack of a better way to put it.
Right.
But the game looks absolutely gorgeous and it runs silky smooth. I mean, that's the thing that I think jumped out at me more than anything. And it really jumped out at me more today when I played it in versus mode than when I did through the tutorial. The tutorial, it's kind of hard to judge how smooth it really is. But in practice, in actual versus play, it is just buttery smooth. I didn't see any frame hitching. It just ran super, super clean, 60 frames. It looks gorgeous. I really, really like the way the characters, visually, they just kind of pop on the screen to me. And in terms of the mechanics, I think the mechanics all, again, feel good. They feel they have the right level of control. I don't feel like I get caught up on walls. I don't feel like I get hung up on things. I like that the Lancer now seems more controllable, or predictable. Maybe that's the better way to put it.
Do you not think it's too overpowered?
Look, they'll probably tweak it a skosh. It is definitely overpowered at this point. But I don't think by much. And the reason why I like it being a little overpowered is that, you know, I think it should be one of the more powerful weapons on the battlefield. I always found it just, to me, you know, the polar opposite. The Lancer was one of the weaker weapons when it should have been one of the more powerful weapons. You think about it, it's an assault rifle. Whereas the shotgun, which is just a close quarters weapon, ultimately ruled the roost for almost all of Gears of War games prior to this. Yeah. And now the shotgun does not feel nearly as powerful in comparison to the other weapons. Yeah. The submachine gun weapon, I forgot what it's called.
Submachine gun.
Sure. It's the one that I think you can start if you're playing the Locust. They'll outfit you as with that weapon. But that actually is really difficult to control. Like, it has a very the spray pattern, it kicks a lot.
Yeah, it's an erratic recoil on the one, isn't it?
But it is also a pretty powerful weapon. Like, if you can get on your target, you can down somebody quickly because it has a high rate of fire. Just overall, I was just really impressed. The HDR lighting as well, it looks fantastic. It just visually is... it's proving itself right now to me, and I cannot wait for September 10th.
Yeah, there's the thing. On the video that's running now, two curiosities about the video that's running right now. Is one, the video is running on a PC. That's strange to see going through the training mode, press space to go into cover and stuff like that there, which is new, because any other time we would have been, you know, on a controller. The second thing that I wanted to mention was, I've completely forgot what it is. Oh, yes, it came up in the training thing about... lock on, about your auto lock. Now, as a professional player, Pete, I would suggest to take your advice as a professional player. So, what do you do with your auto lock on Do you? Because I'd never thought about switching it on or off. You know,
I don't have it on.
Aim and it locks. So as professional players like you and Mike would have it switched off.
I switch mine off. I don't know about Mike.
Okay. Right. Yeah, he's a bit crap. I mean, he's maybe not as good as you. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I don't know. He's pretty good.
Yeah, maybe because he puts auto
lock
on.
Yeah, I don't think Mike uses auto lock either. It ultimately is going to be a hindrance to you because you're going to have situations where it's going to auto lock and you're going to want to switch off of a player. And it's going to take fractions of a second to kind of do that. Whereas if you're just free to lock on to whoever you want, so to speak, without having auto lock.
Okay, and the final thing I'll say is I could not get into the multiplayer again. I couldn't connect to servers. So,
have you tried this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
I found my connection worse this weekend, and I experienced glitches this weekend where I didn't last.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I did not. I got in right away, had no problems. So, but again, that's part of the tech test. I think that I know they said they were rolling out. So last week when they rolled out the beta test, I know that when they started it, they said they were queuing people, and they were doing that on purpose. So they were queuing people up and giving you kind of a wait time. Which when I first fired it up, it said 3 hours, and I said fuck that, and I shut it off and I went to do something else. I know they were queuing and then they were rolling out more servers as they were kind of going on through the course of the day. So I don't know. I did not experience that other than the initial queue. That's the only time I had any like wait time.
Okay. All right. Well, here's some thoughts I've got on Gears of War 5. There's one big negative about this weekend was there wasn't anything different to last.
Okay.
I was a bit disappointed in that. I thought they would at least give us some gameplay, or they would give us horde mode or a different game mode. Yeah. It was just completely the same. So that was a bit crap. One thing I've noticed is if you in arcade mode, if you score a down, if you down someone within in combat and somebody else kills them, you get the kill. You get the execution, or eliminated, should I say.
Right. Yeah,
which I thought is really nice, because the one thing that really peed people off is if you down someone and then you got someone to the side of you and they took your kill and it caused a lot of arguments in the lobby and da 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 da. So I thought that was a nice feature, actually, that once you're down, if somebody else kills them off, and you at least get the point for it and the recognition. I've already said that the Lancers seem very overpowered. This game, like you said, they might have tweaks. One good thing as well, if you do keep your rank, the XP over both of these weekends now seems to be 1,000 points per level. So if you've got the time, try and get 5 consecutive matches on arcade mode, and then you get 500 XP points for that every single game you play following your five match streak. And then all you need to do is get a good score in your game, which I was finishing first or second in each of my games, and I found that I was getting over 1,000 points per match.
God,
and I ranked up pretty
good.
Ranked up pretty quickly. Whoa. I got from level, because I didn't play it much last weekend. I only had a little bit of time on it. I think I was 3 or something like that, and I'm ranked, I don't know, 15, 16 now.
Yeah,
You can rank up pretty quick. I didn't like the fact that he always makes me stumble, this guy.
I know he does. He does to everybody.
The one thing that I didn't like was you don't get the same clunk when you tag someone with a grenade.
Now,
I know it's only a little thing, but I really used to like running upon people and just smacking them with a grenade, and it's just hearing that dink and someone panicking.
Is it a dink or a clunk? Because they're two completely different things. Dink or clunk?
It's a clink. It's a clink.
Dink.
Speaking of grenades, I do think that the smoke grenades in this game are super effective.
Yeah.
I found myself using them much more this go around than I did in previous Gears.
Yeah, they affect the character more, don't they, as you hit them. Mm-hmm. They tend to go sporadic, and they run everywhere in all different angles, and you've got more time to, I think, pop them off. And also the stun grenade as well, that's really good.
Yeah, someone threw one at me. I just dodged out of it, and I was like, oh, that was a flashbang. That wasn't a smoke grenade.
That's pretty cool. I've still not got used to the red blood mist around the screen as you got hit. I think you get too much of that that appears too quickly, and you start to get a little bit you start to lose your concentration. It is distracting. But there we go.
Fight through the pain. Fight through the pain.
What was the other thing in arcade? The one good thing I like as well, and I didn't play Gears 4 online, but Gears 5 I've noticed when there's activity, when there's battle going on beyond a wall, so you can't actually see them, you see an outline of the person, like it mm-hmm. it almost builds up a picture of what's going on behind the building because of what the battle that you can hear going on. So it almost maps out where your characters are as well as the enemies. Sorry, I say characters, your teammates and your enemies, and you get the color blue for your teammates and red for your opposition, and you can kind of work out where they're going as a group and try and it just gives you more chance to pop them off. It gives you a bit of an advantage, whereas previous Gears games you wouldn't see them at all; they'd all be hidden and they'd just appear out of nowhere. So
now that you're talking about, like, the Batman vision, so to speak.
Yeah.
So they did have that in Gears 4. They did introduce that in Gears 4. I agree with you. It does seem almost too good. I kind of, and I don't know specifically how it works. I had thought it would only show you enemy characters if they had been spotted. Mm. This, in the arcade mode at least, they all were shown every time. So what I'm wondering is maybe if you go to ranked.
Really? Well, I'm not muted.
Is that you, Star?
No, you're not. No, not at all. Anyway, so in versus arcade versus the ranked match, my guess is in ranked match, they have to be spotted in order for them to show up in your vision.
I've only played a couple of ranked matches just to play the game types. King of the Hill and what was the other one? Elimination or something like that. Mm-hmm. Very difficult. They're fast paced. You've only got a certain amount of time on elimination, and I haven't even noticed it. You feel that rushed.
Right.
I've not even looked, to be honest. It's just tough.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a group of us slow nerds in it. You know, that'll be fun then.
Arcade mode is great.
Yeah, I like arcade mode a lot. And the other thing I noticed in previous Gears games, if you got downed, you had to have a teammate come get you. In arcade mode, I'm pretty sure if you hammer the A button, you can actually revive yourself.
That's right, yeah. That's the same as number one. I think you can do that in one, can't you? I'm sure it's one or two.
It might be, yeah.
There's one of them where you can revive yourself. I'm sure it's number one. Another good thing as well that in arcade mode that I never... really noticed the first time when I played it last weekend is when you start to get more kills and build yourself up the table within the game, you get little points that like weapon purchase points. Mm-hmm. And I didn't notice this before, and I looked at the top of the screen and it's got this little icon and you have to press Y and it brings you into a weapon menu then, and there's upgrades to the weapons. And so last weekend, I don't know whether you heard, but I said that the loadouts for the characters in arcade mode are just really basic and you don't get all the weapons that you want to. What I didn't realize was that you accumulate points and you can buy weapons and upgrade things as you go along. What I have found in these upgrades are with the characters that you start off with a loadout that's not so great. So they've got the machine gun that's hard to control. You've got better weapon upgrades as you get to the point where you've either got 2 points for one, 4 points for another, and 6 points for another. So you can accumulate your points and save them for a great weapon. And I found that the better weapons, like there's a big, I've not even unlocked it, but there's like almost like a big staff with spikes on it. Have you seen that?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, it's like the hammer from Halo.
Okay.
Sort of.
I don't play Halo, but I'd imagine it's like. And the devastation from that pole is just amazing. He was this guy who I watched just swinging it around and just killing absolutely everything. So it was awesome. But I think you have to start out with that shit loadout. That's just. Well, it's not really my type of thing. I like to start with a Lancer. And yeah, I think, is it JD, Marcus's son?
Yes.
I'll start out as him, and he's got a Lancer. And then when the weapon upgrades are available, they're just random. So I'll just take whatever comes. And it's really good. I'm enjoying arcade mode. And that's what I've got from Gears of War 5 so far. I'm just really disappointed that they haven't released any more content or even just a different map. I like the maps that they've put out there so far, though. There's the training map, which is mm-hmm. when you did the tutorial at the start, you use the same map as that. And the other one is District. So it's just like this right. little, just this little town. Very good. I like it.
All right. By the way, we are looking for a new podcast member that actually likes Halo. So yeah, there's that. Pete, we're gonna have a talk. All right.
Hey, you know what, Pete? You're not the only one.
Hey.
Also looking for a second podcast member.
Nicole, yeah. Where are you now?
All right. Anything else, Pete?
No, I've gone on long enough. Thank you.
All right. Okay. let us move on. Kim, real quickly. Obviously, Red Dead Redemption 2, we know you are continuing on your beaver hunting saga. Any... Sorry, couldn't help
Not
it.
Not beaver. Possum, but all right.
Sorry, possums, beavers, raccoons. I mean, if anything that's like a farm.
It works for me.
Yep. Trials, apparently, in Borderlands.
Borderlands.
Okay, Borderlands. Wow.
Yeah, Borderlands, yeah. They had their free weekend here a couple weekends ago, so a couple of my friends got it back into playing it again. Well, little did I know, they played the Game of the Year edition, and I don't have that one. I just have the original Borderlands. So, yeah, we fired that thing back up and for nostalgia, I guess, and it was all right. So
that was a question. So you played the 360 version then? So to speak, on your Xbox One, they were playing the new version that was kind of up-res for Xbox One.
Yeah, No, we couldn't. That was the problem. Oh. She had to actually dig out her 360 version in order to play the same game with me. So just a heads up, if you have the Game of the Year edition, the Game of the Year edition and the 360 version are not compatible, even though you'd think they would be. But no. Okay. So, and the way she talked, apparently the Game of the Year edition plays a lot better. So,
I would imagine they probably smoothed out some of the frame rate, pacing, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does this make you want to go like get Gears or Borderlands 3?
Oh well, that's Gears. The plan. So, okay. I mean, I'm getting Gears 2, so you know, just so you know.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, yeah, that's the plan. I think if I didn't get Borderlands 3, I'd probably be disowned. So.
Yeah, what is the one? There's one there that's on the Game Pass, which is, I played it at one of the EGXs. It was like Borderlands in Space. That's not quite right. The pre-sequel?
Yeah, the pre-sequel. Pre-sequel, yeah. which I never finished. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people liked it and they played it and whatever, but I don't know. I didn't get along with it, so.
Okay.
There's only been one prequel I've ever actually enjoyed playing, and that was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, Robin, let's talk about, you've got lots to talk about here. GTA 5?
Yeah, it's funny. I was sitting all night going, what am I going to do? I don't have much time here. So, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the talk about the casino thing last week. And I thought, well, I'll fire up GTA. To see what this casino is about, and as soon as you go into online mode, it pops you straight into the casino. You arrive there, and then I walked around a bit and spun the Wheel of Fortune, but it's all about them shoehorning you in to spend money to buy this the penthouse suite and all of that, to spend your bucks. So it's all about that. So I came out of the multiplayer mode and back into my single player saves, and I actually thought that I had lots of other stuff to do. Sorry, Greg, you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm okay.
Okay. I thought I had lots and lots of other stuff to do, but I obviously didn't. So I went to the movies. I'd never been to the movies in Grand Theft Auto before. So I went to the movies. You know what I'm talking about, Pete, don't you? No? So I went to the cinema, and I went into the cinema, and I sat and watched this movie in GTA 5 for about 10 minutes. It was really B-movie, but it was actually pretty good. So
I went to the comedy show in number four, but...
It was kind of good. And then I went and played some tennis, and that was good fun, and played a few rounds of tennis, and I went dink and clunk and splat and crack and whoosh. I know the sounds, Pete. So that was tennis. That was good fun. So I had good fun with GTA. And I know there's so much more you can do with it than the multiplayer world, but I'm not really interested in that. I enjoyed. See, Greg doesn't like the premise. Well. He's a good guy. He doesn't like thugs, and he doesn't want to associate with thugs. So that's why he doesn't like GTA. And I was kind of the same, but GTA 5 came along, and it was more cartoonish rather than real life-ish. And it's worth it. You would enjoy it, Greg. Actually, you would. Sorry, you would.
I really do appreciate the Grand Theft Auto games. Don't get me wrong. This is putting on my grandpa pants or my dad pants. My dad
didn't wear pants.
But I mean, look, we are filled in a world of kids always trying to replicate their heroes. And sadly, today, our heroes are more and more rappers that are, kind of, they build their lives around the gangster life, and we've got kids trying to emulate that. And so when real life tries to emulate our entertainment, and when our entertainment is basically trying to push criminals onto us as heroes, I start having issues with that.
I suppose I was playing as Michael, and I went to see my shrink. And sat with my shrink.
That was a good moment of that game. I did like the Michael character, to be perfectly honest. I did like him.
And my shrink decided to run out of the house and drive away because he'd got a TV show, and he was using lots of my footage and my stories. And I had to chase him down and run him off the road. So yeah, that was fun. Other stuff that I've done. I sitting here, I think it was last night, I'm going to just do this as badly. I had another little crack at Strange Brigade, because Ken has been turning about mentioning it. And I didn't realise, we spent a lot of time doing the multiplayer. Do you remember that night, Kim? We'd done loads and loads and loads.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And maybe Greg was there for a while as well. And I've only done maybe, there's maybe about 8 or 9 chapters in it, is that right? I'd only done 2. So... I finished off the third one last night. I was thinking about, I wonder if Kim's right, I could maybe join in and play. Because it's a really good game. It's good, it's solid, and it's fun, and it looks great.
You just can't have couch co-op, can you, on this game? It's online co-op only.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I was annoyed about. I was going to play this with my son, and we got down to, get started, and disappointed at that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know what he wants for Christmas?
It's already got
another Xbox. Yeah.
He's got.
Oh yeah, Strange Brigade, good fun. I also went back into SteamWorld Dig, because it's just so lovely little game. It's just really sweet, and mopped up some of the achievements in SteamWorld Dig 2 again. It was just lots of fun.
Alright.
And that's been what I've been up to.
Try and keep this relatively quick, because I know we've been going for quite a while now, and we haven't even gotten into a lot of the other stuff we need to. But the Golf Club, Trials Rising, Hitman 2, been playing a bit of that. I know Mark talked about it, Hitman last week, was the week before. But Hitman 2, it's more of the same. It is, but that's a very good thing. The Hitman series, if you want something where you feel like a sneaky bastard, and there are literally – you know, dozens, if not, you know, I would say hundreds of different ways to kill somebody as your mark, Hitman is the game you want. And what's great about Hitman 2, and I think Mark did point this out, is when you finish a level, it will show you all the little things that you did that are kind of unique to kind of, you know, distracting somebody using a certain item. And they're all little challenges, like mini challenges. And so it'll come up, it'll show you that you did this or this, but it leaves everything else grayed out. So it's kind of like, you know, you can go in and play it again and try and do this and try and use this. So usually it goes one of two ways for me. I find my mark and I'm able to be sneaky. I slip in, silent assassin, take them out, leave unnoticed. Nobody knows the wiser. Then there's other times where just shit goes wrong. It goes bad in a bad way. And I leave a massive amount of bodies behind. But yeah, the level you're watching right now, by the way, in the stream with the cars, that was an insanely difficult level for me, only because one of the characters I thought – so you can – in this game, you can always kill somebody and take their outfits and disguise yourself as them. And so I snuck into an area where there was basically, the race is being put on by like a high-end robotics team and robotics corporation. And so I'm kind of sneaking into their building and trying to get at one of the marks. And so I got into this lab area, and I'm kind of behind the scenes, and I'm hearing them talking about, you know, these robotics that they're testing. And there's a lead scientist is talking about everything. And I pick up a robotic arm. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I can use this as a weapon or a distraction or something. And a guy walks around the corner and discovers me. And so I just throw the arm at his head and basically knock him out. And knocked him out, and I walk over and I snap his neck. Didn't realize that was the head scientist guy.
Oops.
So I couldn't take his lab coat, and now suddenly he's missing. And so I'm like, I hit his body. And then I was just screwed. So I ended up having to fight my way out for a while. But it's interesting because once you get discovered in a costume, you can't go back to that costume. Or I mean, you can, but you'll quickly be identified. So the key is, if you do get spotted in a costume, to immediately switch out into somebody else's outfit and you know, don't set off alarms doing it type thing. But it is as much a third-person action game as it is a game about solving puzzles.
Yeah, well, I mean, Pete might like it because he can probably shoot people in the balls too, like the sniper elite games too.
Oh, you can. Yep.
He's a bit too slow-moving for me, Hitman. I don't like stealth games.
I'm a bit like you as well. I've tried to play. I played the first one with the nun. Yeah. Was it the nuns in the field? What was that? That's a fantasy thing.
Nuns of the Field is a Blood Money, I think.
Yeah, it was one of the ones in.
That's Blood Money.
Yeah, it was just that's a fantasy. Yeah. It's like six nuns, non-assassins chasing you in the field.
Yeah, assassin nuns.
Yeah, that's sexy. That is, I like that. So, but I think of them. To be sure. Anyway,
last thing to talk about, this is going to be a limited conversation.
Okay, well, there is a trailer. I'm playing the trailer. Because
I'm under apparently there's a very strict NDA on this. I was able to get into a technical test for Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. This is like when you talk about, you know, betas in the past, they've always felt oftentimes like they're just demos. In fact, Gears of War right now to me feels like a demo. This tech test, they literally have your gamer tag laid over the screen, so you see it all over the screen. So this way, if you take screenshots, if you take footage, it will be on screen, and they will come after you. So that being said, there is a lot to this game. There is crafting. There is leveling up. It's kind of, you know, it's Ghost Recon Wildlands taken to another level, and I think really infusing the Division into it. in some of the RPG elements, further, you know, kind of furthering that. And then it was just this layer of this kind of, and I'll say realistic in quotes because it's not terribly realistic, but, you know, there is damage. And when you get hurt, it affects you. It affects how you can move. It affects your aim. So there's this survival element to the game that they brought forward. And I was skeptical at first. I think it works. I think it works pretty well. The game is still early, you know, and the build I was playing in, you know, it's not got all the polish to it, so there were some glitches here and there, but I'm not going to say any more other than I'll leave you with a very positive thing for, well done, Robin, very positive positive note of, if you like Ghost Recon Ghost Recon Wildlands, and also if you like The Division 2, I think this game is going to be something you will love. I think it absolutely is going to be worth picking up come holiday.
Excellent. So,
that's it. I get into this too, but I didn't get the email until like yesterday, so it's like, well, it's half over. So
It goes to the 29th. So if you can get a chance, Kim, I'd recommend checking it out. It's it's a sneak peek, and it's kind of crazy because they started off and you get an employee from Ubisoft on screen. It's like full motion video, like reading you the Riot Act of the NDA. And not in a mean way, but I mean, they like lay it out. Mm-hmm. This is under NDA, no screenshots, no video capture. If you do, we'll come after you. And I'm sure they don't really want people to talk about it also, but it's a positive thing in my book, so I don't mind saying it. If they want to come after me for saying something positive, so be it. Anyway, that's it for me. Let's move on. Robin, I think we have a quiz.
Okay, man, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. Now, come on, now crank this motherfucker up.
What's that noise?
And tonight I will be your quizmaster. My name is Robin Tidbongo the CN, and I have three likely candidates for the quiz this evening. This is an audio quiz, and the way it works, you'll have four multiple guess answers and an audio clip to guess. This game is from a game. The audio is from a game that some of yous may have played and some of yous may not have played. So strap yourselves in and get ready to play Mark's audio quiz. And here's your first audio clip right now. Right now. Right now.
Round one.
I was just hiding. I find I live longer that way. Bastards catch me again. Never! Wait. Who are you?
It's just a memory.
Truth? Is that you?
Around you now.
For my tales of the Northmen, they call me Truth.
And there's the first audio clip. Now, contestants, your choices are this. Is it A. Skyrim, B. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, C. The Witcher 3, or D. DMC: Devil May Cry: The Definitive Edition? So it's time for the answers. This week's clips are from story cutscenes, so here we are. Please get your answers in now. So there's one, two, and three. And we have two answers that are the same. And one which is not the same. And of course, Kim, as always, is correct. Which means Greg is correct. Mm. It, of course, was from Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. Yes. And if you've ever played Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, you will never forget that audio track. So that was very, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to question number two of the audio quiz. And again, just as a reminder, this is stories from cutscenes.
Round two.
What are you reading?
Just a little bit of light study.
Looks pretty heavy to me.
Can I help you with something?
I need a favor. I need the keys to the Maserati.
Does Dr. Brent know?
Of course he does.
Okay. Okay, then you want my signing for it then?
And that clip is from a favourite game of someone out there. So, the answers are, is it from Her Story? Is it from The Bunker? Is it from Late Shift? Or is it from Press X Not to Die? Her Story, The Bunker, Late Shift, Press X Not to Die. And you can play on this at home, guys, if you want to. Put your answers in the chat. I would like the team's answers now, please. Now? Pete.
I knew he was waiting for me. I knew he.
Yeah.
No. I was like, yeah, it's Late Shift.
Yep, it is Late Shift. Absolutely, the answer is Late Shift. Another fantastic game. It's a real video game, really. It's all about videos, interactive videos. So must play it. Okay, this is going well, guys. It's going well. It's points. And question number 3 of the audio quiz.
Final round.
They killed her.
Sir, these things you're saying, these terrible things, I believe you need a distraction. Yes, a distraction to calm this dire mood. It's been ages since we've had a proper family activity. Checkers, or perhaps charades. Sean does so love that game. Is the lad with you?
Okie dokie. So, extra bonus point if you get it without the multiple guess. Anybody want to do that? Can anybody tell me what it was? Okay, so the multiple guess, thanks to it, is A, Fallout 4, B, The Surge.
I was just going to fucking say that.
Too fucking slow. B, The Surge. Someone smell of espresso with a twisted lemon. C, Elix, or D, Recore. Recore. So the answers are Fallout 4, The Surge, Elix, or Recore. So for your final answers for this question, round of questions, can I have your answers now, please, Pete? Would you put your answer in last? Damn it. So Kim says The Surge, and Greg...
I think it could be Elix, but I'm thinking Fallout 4.
If you had have thought Elix, Greg... you would be wrong. And you're okay. Right. It is Fallout 4. So the two boys
you
are correct.
You had to go and search for the boy, yeah. The I remember boy. The part. Yeah. I just couldn't get off mute quick enough, and he cut me off.
So after that, Greg, 100% scoring there. All three correct. Kim with 2. You're slipping. And Pete with 2. So as the scores get updated...
I updated you, Kim.
And Robin gets his half point there, which puts me on 4. There you go. So the leader is Kim. Fantastic, as per usual. Nothing changed there. Myself and Greg and Pete are on 4. Gary is on 3. How did that ever happen? And Phil is on 2. So well done, guys. And thank you very, very much, Mark, for that. It's good stuff.
Yes.
Good.
Indeed. Absolutely.
Thanks, and I hope you're feeling better soon, fella, because I know you're not you're feeling too good. So, you know, it's time for this.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so some news. Epic Game Store cloud saves roll out. Now they rolled out only for 2 games, so don't get all excited for this. They're rolling it out and expanding it as they go. But for now, the first 2 titles that will support the cloud saves are going to be Moonlighter and This War of Mine. So if you happen to own those in the Epic Game Store, you will get cloud saves with that. And Epic says they do plan to expand cloud saves to many more games in the future, allowing players to seamlessly and continually continue playing on a different PC of their choice.
Isn't that odd that we've been doing this for years, since 360 days, and even PlayStation 3, I think, did that as well.
Yeah.
Towards the end. Isn't it odd that, you know, that's just common nature now? So, you know, if you're around at a mate's, you just log into your profile and all your game saves are there. Because, you know, I remember people being nervous about, I save all my game saves locally. No, no, don't trust the cloud. Oh, no, no, no. So, it just seems...
It also, to me, it seems odd that they did not have this in place when they rolled out the Epic Game Store. I mean, if they wanted to keep Steam... Steam's been offering that since, I think, 2008. So it feels like something they should have been like, hey, we've got that from the get-go. But it is what it is. It's coming, and then hopefully they'll flesh it out even more. Speaking of things getting fleshed out, it looks like there might be some changes coming to the Xbox home screen once again. They are testing out a cleaner version. I put in a screenshot from the article I pulled. It's not a dramatic difference in terms of how the layout is done, but it is different. Let's just put it that way.
It's a bit upsetting for me because it's only just took me until now to start reading my messages. Since the last change. And Robin gets frustrated when I read his messages about 3 months later. It's just setting me back again, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I don't read messages from Robin either.
So it has got a bit cluttered again. You know, and there is, I don't know. Yeah, that I'll give it to the PlayStation guys. You know, that is nice and simple. You know, it is a very, you know, because they're not very clever, so they need something very simple. But it does work very, very well for them.
Triggering PlayStation gamers everywhere. That's Robin Tate at Bongo the Sane on Twitter. Please send all hate towards him.
So, yes, your most recent played game, very, very useful thing. But it's my games and apps is the thing I go to the most into there, you know. And I know there's the pinned screens you can have, but they got out of date so quick. And who could be bothered messing with that? So, okay, yeah.
I always forget to use my to be perfectly honest. I do the same thing you do, Robin.
Yeah, iterations. Okay.
One other change coming, though, that is worth talking about real quickly is how the Cortana app is going to work. So right now, you can use Cortana using your microphone, but that will be changing. So Microsoft is changing how voice commands work with the Xbox, shifting to a cloud-based assistant rather than an on-console model. One side effect is that you won't be able to speak with Cortana using your headset. You'll be able to control your console through the Xbox skill in the Cortana app on iOS, Android, and Windows, or via the Harman Kardon Invoke speaker, whatever the hell that is. I've never even heard of it, but I think that's their replacement to Kinect. And so it's basically going to be similar to the Echo Dot.
Alexa, would you ask Cortana to start Gears of War 5?
Yeah.
No, frig off. I thought they were bringing back the paperclip. Damn it. I like that paperclip.
Look, they had an opportunity with Cortana and the voice control stuff. And unfortunately, I think they gave up on it too soon.
Hey, Cortana. I like
ultimately, you know, companies like Amazon and Google have come in on their heels and done a better job of it. So there's that too. All right. Last story to talk about, and this is one that it affects probably a lot of our Nintendo Switch owners out there. Apparently, the Joy-Cons were having a lot of drift issues, and Nintendo, prior to this past week, was charging you basically $40 to get your sticks fixed. Yeah, so now the good news is if you want to get your stick fixed, you can do it for free. Nintendo will repair that stick for you, no charge. And they're also refunding those that they had previously made pay to get their stick fixed. Anyway, so yeah, so there's that. I think that is a good, smart, customer, consumer-friendly choice by Nintendo. So good on them. Good on them for doing that.
Thank you very much. Love it.
Let's dive into community feedback. Kim, we have... sorry, Pete. Shifting gears.
Kim, I'm pretty as well.
Yeah.
I'm pretty.
You are very pretty. Easy on the eyes there. Blue eyes. Oh. All right, Pete. We have an email from a listener.
We do. Nigel Strutt.
Yeah.
We
thought he said don't read it.
Yeah. We're gonna, what the hell? It's the first email we've had in 6 million years. And we thought the account was broke, so we've got to read it. And it reads, folks, loving the podcast, you certainly all keep a smile on my face. Aww. No need to read this out as an actual email, but I have requested to join the Golf Club OC Society, and it won't let me participate until I've been accepted into the society.
He has been accepted, by the way.
Yay. I hadn't anticipated being hazed for membership of an online golf society, but I am sure I can find an old pig's head and a bottle of cheap Prosecco from somewhere if it's mandatory. Keep up the legendary work. Looking forward to putting the Canadian back in his box on the fairways of the Golf Club 2019. Struttmeister.
Well, outside of that last little Canadian bit, no, happy to have you in the society and thrilled that you listen to the show. He actually had sent a message to me saying he listens to the show and is a big fan. So we did not pay him for this, awesome. By the way. And yeah, that is always nice to get that kind of feedback. So yeah, Nigel, golf away. You are in, whether you wanted to be now or not.
And I've also got a review from iTunes as well.
Yes. Yep, that is actually part of the hazing. You do need to give us a review or we will kick you out of the society. So
I'm going
to
read you one here from the 19th of November 2010. How bad can a gaming podcast possibly get? Stuttering presenters with absolutely no idea of what they're talking about. Pathetic, dithering content that makes you just want to listen to the shipping forecast instead. A waste of your precious time and badly produced to boot. The Overseas Connection is none of these things. It's a great listen, funny and informative. I've been tuning in for a year or so now, and every week when you listen, you feel like part of the gang. A fantastic show, almost as good as the Veteran Gamers podcast. Wink. Bongo the Sane. Oh, dear. Anyway.
All right. Let us move forward. Kim.
Yes.
There's a massive amount of games coming this week. So let's get through this, all right? Are you ready?
I'll do my best. Maybe I should get a drink first, you know, that big of a list. Never mind. Yes, your new releases for July 27th through August 3rd are Madden NFL 20 for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. It's available August 2nd. And those are your new releases.
Doesn't want to start any music?
Yep. Yeah, this is kind of curious. I would have thought there would have been a couple. I'm sure there's going to be a couple indies that sneak out during this week. That's the official list off of Game Informer. So if you don't like our list, blame them, not us. We steal the content directly from them. All right. We do have some challenges. So look, Pete, Mark's not here. So I think we should give you the reins on the Trials Challenge.
Okay, so this is Trails Rising Challenge number 20, and the track for that was Ship It. Usually what we do is get all of the times in at 7 p.m. on a Sunday, so make sure that you get your screenshot of the latest track and your time and send it to at Mark Annex on Twitter, or you can post it on the Facebook page or even in our WhatsApp OCP What's Next group. And you can send Mark, Bongo, any of us a message just to get on there, and I'm sure we'll add you somehow. So that's just to get your times in. And this latest track then this week, like I said, it was called Ship It, and in 10th place was Me, because I haven't played it this week. It
was Me.
Oh, no. Number 9. Scott Stubby, 59 Yay. Seconds.
So much better Chubster, than you. So much better than you.
I know. All right. Chubster, 99. Where are you anyway? You're not on this 10.
Exactly.
Yeah. Too busy playing them bloody...
That's at the movies, for God's sake.
Yeah. Playing tennis. Right. 8th place, Chubster, 999 with 56 seconds. Now, this is where it gets tight. 7th place, Mark Nix, with 55 seconds and 8 hundredth of a second, and then Kim just beat Mark by a hundredth of a second.
Go, Kim!
So 55.733. Well done, Kim. Mark said he's FedEx. Number five, Womble MK3 has got 48 seconds. That's a class time, that is. But the daddy himself, Murphy's Law, got 48 seconds also, but won this race between them two by 200ths of a second. Well done, yep. Greg.
Nice.
Martin C, 1984, is in third place with 47 seconds. And Playing Skills is in second place with 47 seconds also, but 400ths of a second quicker than Martin C. And then in first place, as per usual, this is getting boring now. I hope somebody hurts his fingers for a week or two. I don't really mean that. I'm sorry, Rob. He got his time, which is great. 45 seconds, which, yeah, is completely...
Snoogans.
Everybody else. There we go. So... Challenge number 21. Yes, we're carrying on. It's going to be Vietnam Vaults using the Rhino bike. So please get your times in by Sunday, 7 p.m. next week.
Okay. I would just like to point out, I got home late last night. When I beat Womble's time by like 200ths of a second, I was like, awesome. I'm done. I'm not touching this again this week. Only to find out Martin beat me. And Martin and I have been going back and forth a little bit on our challenges, which you'll see in another game also, by the way. So I was like, son of a bitch. So I fired it up this morning and for a good 2 hours, just trying to beat the time. And there were probably four different times I had him beat solidly. But there's this one last little jump. You have to nail with your back wheel, and if you don't hit it with your back wheel, you're effed. And every time I screwed it up, I could not beat him, and I hung it up. Finally, said I need to play something different. I'm getting angry.
Yep.
So I hung it up.
After that one.
Yeah.
Mine was the third shipping container that was up in the air. It was after the first two, and then there was the one over the big jump. I couldn't land on that son of a bitch to save my life. I could crash into it and screw up, but I couldn't land on top of that damn thing to save my life. Just couldn't do it. So I quit. I got up to fifth, I think, and I'm like, okay, that's good enough.
That worked. Hey, no, fifth is nothing to sneeze at. Well done.
Right.
Well done. All right. We have the Resogun Challenge, number 238. That happened this past week. So if you want to take part in the Resogun Challenge, by the way, these are just the weekly Resogun Challenges that the game itself launches out. But reach out to @Marcanix or post on our Facebook page and, basically let him know you have a score, a time, all that good stuff. I guess it's just a score. It's not a time. But get it in by Sunday, 7 p.m. in the UK, which is like 11 a.m. in the West Coast. So there you go. Get that in. Get it to Mark, and he will take care of you. That's @Marcanix. So without further ado, Gunslinger X 1983 came in with 39,350 points. Fourth place was Sarah RCGC. She came in with 42,870 points. And then there was a big jump. And Luis Raimondo came in with 1,047,300 points.
Wow.
Only to be beaten by Baron Von Glower with 1,286,650 points. But apparently not enough, because the man with way too much time on his hand and playing way too much Resogun finished with 9,832,460 points. Tuscan 77.
Unbelievable.
Crushing
Holy
it.
Holy moly.
Yeah, crushing
well
it.
Well done.
Yeah. Well, Challenge 239 starts tonight at 1 a.m. in the UK. So get on, start playing. And again, reach out to Mark Wright @Marcanix or post it on our Facebook page. Either way, we'll find you. All right. As you noted already, we had inquiries about our golf club challenge, our golf club society. So we do have this going on for PC and for Xbox. So if you want to play in the golf club 2019 challenge, all you have to do is reach out to basically our society. So it's the OC Podcast Challenge Society, or sorry, OC Podcast Challenge Club on Xbox. It's the OC Podcast Club on PC. Get in there, do a join up request. We'll accept you in, and you could be part of this lovely group of golfers. Yeah, I'm just watching the video right now. Well done, yeah, well done, Robin.
The same.
All right. Recapping from a couple weeks back, because I know we haven't had these scores in. So the fourth course challenge, which was the Royal Portrush course, we had Scott Stubbe and Blue Brew and myself, Murphy's Law, all tying for first with 7 over. Apparently Gary played this as well, but I don't remember his score, so screw Gary. Martin C. 1984 came in technically second, maybe even third, with a +8, because I'm pretty sure Gary had like a -5. And then XJ Ryder 98 came in at a +12. Now for the fifth course challenge, we were on the TPC Sawgrass course. And that was from last week. And coming in fifth, we had Gunslinger 1983. We had Scott Stubbe coming in at +9. Myself at +4. Martin C. 1984 came in at a +3. Damn you, Martin. And XJ Ryder 98 came in at a -2. That's an incredible turnaround, by the way. Very was good. +12 the week before, -2 this past week. So well done to him. And if you're wondering what Gary's score was, it was did not finish because he did not play. Next week, challenge number 6, it will be going live today. It is one round at the Belfry, the Brabazon. I think that's who made it. I could be wrong. But anyway, it's the Belfry course. And we want to welcome Ordy84, Filthy, and of course, Strutmeister to our lovely society. Get to your golfing, kids. All right, Bongo.
Mm-hmm.
Victory's achieved. I think it's a thing.
So when you actually finish some of these games that none of us are finishing at the moment, what you actually do is you take a picture of yourself for the credits in the background, and it's like a race to get them finished. Yeah, you get a race to finish, and then what you do is you take a photograph of the credits, and then you tweak that off to at OC underscore podcast with a hashtag thing they're catching on. Hashtag victory achieved. And you can win money. Real money. So it's like $15 or $20. Sarah won it this year. Dave Theomatic won it this year in June. So fantastic. So these people are in the draw. Gunslinger, he finished another world 20th year old anniversary edition. Fantastic game. Good fun to go back to that. Dave Theomatic, Assassin's Creed 3, the redone version. Fletch, Daniel, he finished Hitman Season 1. Caliburn M, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, he's forgotten it already. And of course, John Mouse finished Days Gone, and he wants to buy a motorbike, and everybody wants to buy a motorbike that seems to have played Days Gone. So well done to all of yous. Yous are entered into the draw. Finish your games. You've bought them, or at least hired them. Get your money out of them. So for doing that, you get this?
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved. Robin, I do have a question. This is a rules question that was requested or asked of me. So for the victory's achieved, let's say you finish a game.
Yes.
You forget to take a picture of the game credits rolling in the background with you. Is it acceptable to take a picture of the finished, like the campaign achievement completion in the background?
Well, I do have an algorithm. So each of
the algorithm.
Yes. So
easy for you to say.
Each of the photographs is scanned through this algorithm to see if it is up to scratch for victory achieved. Sometimes it's not, because the computer says no and it won't accept it. But other times the computer will accept it And sometimes it says yes. But I suppose if you were going to put up the achievement and it was an Xbox achievement, it might say yes. Other achievements, I don't know. But if it's an achievement...
It's a long way around the barn to get to an answer.
So, to put it in a nutshell and then put a set in one word only...
Maybe.
I would say that would have to be a definite maybe. And each one would be taken at its merits on a come, first serve basis. I hope that's clear. So, yeah, try me and see. Sorry, just one thing that we need to talk about as far as a victory achieved concerned. A young gentleman from England has won $1 million. I believe it's $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
The first Fortnite World Championship. I think I put a link up earlier on today. Maybe not.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so...
I block Fortnite stories out of my head.
I just think it's interesting. You know, there was... So, 200... Yeah, he won $1 million in the Fortnite World Cup. A 14-year-old boy from Essex. So, good lad.
Okay.
Him part of a team. So, Fortnite's a thing. In fact, the prize pool for Fortnite was more money than was in the Ladies World Cup. There you go. Sad.
Talking about real sport, I know you mentioned Fletch in the victories achieved. Did you see his video of his wrestling video?
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's a cool dude.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. He's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to shout him out. Well done.
Well done.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So acrobatic. Well
done. Yeah. And he's got good taste in video games. Pete.
He's a good dad.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let us move on to wrapping this show up. We have talked way too long. Look, if you want to be part of the conversation, you can jump into the chat as we broadcast live. We are on YouTube. We are on Twitch. We are on Mixer. Just go to one of those channels and look up OC Podcast. You'll find us live, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. in Easter Island, for God's sakes. And if you're waking up in the morning in Australia, what better way to have a cup of coffee and the Overseas Connection podcast? I'm just saying.
Indeed.
That was good. Well done. iTunes, Stitcher, if you're a gym rat and you say, hey, I need to go to the gym, I can't afford to watch videos, then put us in your ears. Download us, listen to the podcast while you're rocking out to the old 90s. We have clubs and communities. Search us on Xbox, on PlayStation, on PC, even Discord, apparently. It's like a future thing. We're there. And more importantly, just listen to this.
Oh, shit.
We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter. @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Happy birthday.
That's enough of that.
Thank you. Yay.
All right. Let's start it off. Pete, why don't you give some shout-outs?
Okay, I'm just going to shout-out my brother. We've had a great night of gaming this week. It's the only person that I really wanted to shout-out this week. And if you wanted to follow me on Twitter or Xbox or anywhere, you can find me. I'm the Legit Chinny. And I'll be streaming, I reckon, once or twice a week on the Twitch.
Don't send him a message on Xbox. If you're looking for a speedy reply, it might take months.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, don't even send me a friend request. That'll be the same as well. Yeah, I might as well have just not said that. And I just watch the Twitch channel. I'll at least appear on that and send some abuse and stuff. It'd be great to hear from you.
Hmm.
All right.
Fantastic. Lovely.
Kim?
Alrighty. I'm going to shout out our shatters real quick. We had RCGC, Scott Stebby, Solemn67, Commander Root, Freddy Bot. I'm sure it's not a bot. Anyway, Lurks, Skinny Seahorse, Slow Cool, Gogs1980, and Electrical Longboard. So thanks for coming along and chatting with us. A shout out to you guys. It's always fun to be here. Here's to another week. Here we go again. So... How about you there, Tank Top?
This, you know, one, I realize we never really covered the actual process of wrapping up the show with Pete.
No.
So,
Pete. Sauce. Yeah, I realized afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It's okay. Mm. It's all right. There's a passing of the buck. And then, you know, Kim, who's been here for eons, also fails to understand the proper order of doing this. Robin, why don't you give some quick shout-outs? Because I think the shout-out you were going to give is probably the most important shout-out we could actually give right now.
Yeah, I would just like to thank me for being awesome. And thank you very much, everybody, for just praising me. Thank you very much. It's lovely. Is that the one you're talking about? That's it. From that one, to Rich and Jill, fantastic. You are married now. It's wonderful. You'll have that fresh look around you for a few months now. And, you know, it'll wear off. And, you know, then you'll have coffee in different rooms and stuff like that there. And you'll walk past each other without talking. But enjoy it while it lasts. Because, you know, it's good. And like 21 years, like Judith and I later on, you know. Yeah, it's great. It's really good. We love it. We love each other very much. So I hope you are very, very happy, just like Greg and I and you know, and Mark and, you know, and Kim has the right idea.
Pete looks happy.
Pete, yeah. Pete's living in sin. Oh, there you go. So congratulations to you. I hope you've had a fantastic day. I'll look forward to hearing from Pete's brother, the one that's not as popular as Pete, to hear all about it. So, yeah. I want to say hi to Mark and the wife. I hope you're feeling better soon. I know you've had a tough week. And
definitely.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm off to have some wine and pasta and paddleboarding in Italy, and I'll be away on Saturday morning, so I will see you all in a week or two. I'm sure I'll chat to you in between times. And the thing about it is, Greg DeLacy may have to host a show. This is the best thing for him ever.
I know. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Anyway, Tank Topless Tank Top, over to you.
All right, Robin. First of all, Robin, I need to send you all the videos of Shark Week that I've been watching where people on paddleboards were getting attacked by sharks.
It's fresh water. I checked.
It makes you really think twice about going out in the ocean. I have to big shout out to my wife for dealing with some crazy, crazy situations with our son. She is a trooper in the truest sense of the word. Shout out to the three of you it's things. Always fun. Yes, always fun with you guys. And as you rightly pointed out, Robin, congratulations, Rich and Jill. We are 100% happy for you guys. We know you will enjoy life together till death do you part, and they mean it, till death do you part.
What's that meatloaf song? What was it?
I know what you're talking about.
For the end of time. Wishing for the end of time. That's right. Sorry.
Suddenly being
that
doesn't seem so bad.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. Yes. Get us out of here, Robin.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.